Today's Palm Sunday. Today's that triumphal entry. And I'd like to talk about Palm Sunday today. But before we do, I'd like us to watch this video. So I hope your theology lines up a little more with Tommy's and not Eddie's. And so that day, that Palm Sunday, there was a large crowd that crowded around Jesus as he came in. And I'm sure that you could look at each one of those. You could take any one of those people in that crowd, and they would have lessons to teach us. Maybe even those who were scoffing and going, you know, like, what are you doing? What's this all about? He's not really a king. We could learn lessons. We could learn lessons from those who came to worship him as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords, as the triumphal entry. We could learn lessons from Jesus. But, you know, and today I want us to look at some lessons that we could learn, but not from the people. I want us to look at lessons that we could learn from the donkey. See, the donkey is not any ordinary donkey. Can we go to the next slide, please? The donkey is not any ordinary donkey. Let's just read some from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." See, Jesus didn't just say, "You know what, guys? Just go into the village, go into Jerusalem, and find me a donkey. I just need a donkey. Just get any donkey." He said, "Go into Jerusalem, and as you're entering the city, there'll be a donkey tied right there with his colt. Untie it and bring it to me. And if anyone says anything about it, just say, 'I have need of it.'" In other words, they will understand. See, this donkey was selected. This donkey was chosen. It was a particular donkey that Jesus said, "I want you to get this donkey." Not just any donkey. You know, I'm not a real hockey fan, and I'm probably going to get myself in trouble throughout this message because I'm going to talk about the NHL a little bit. So a hockey team like the Canucks has scouts that go out for them, and they look for special players that they need. And the Canucks, they might probably have a lot of scouts that need to find a lot of good players. But besides that, they go out and they look for specific players. They might be looking for somebody who's fast, who's left-handed, and who can play on the wing. Or they might be looking for somebody, the scout might be looking for somebody who's big and can get in the way as a defenseman. But they're looking for specific players. And if you don't fit that specific criteria, they won't recommend you to the management. Listen to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 9. "I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners. I called you. I said, 'You are my servants. I have chosen you and have not rejected you.'" Each one of us, God has called from the ends of the earth, from wherever. We didn't all grow up in Ashcroft. How many people grew up in Ashcroft? There you go. But the rest of us, God has called us here, right? He selected us. He has chosen us as his own people to be here. I mean, if you go on to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the first part of the verse says, you are a chosen people. We're not just anybody. We're not just somebody. He's chosen us. He selected us. Have you ever been to the SPCA to get a puppy? You walk down that row of kennels, and the puppies are on either side, or maybe, or just one side, whichever way it is. And as you're walking down, there's all sorts of dogs. There's little ones, big ones. Ones with legs that tall, ones with legs that long. There's ones with long hair, ones with short hair. There's ones that'll sit at the back of the kennel, really quiet. There's other ones that'll come right up to the gate and wag their tail and to the mesh and wag their tail and just want to lick you to death. And you know, as you adopt the dog, as you select the dog, as you choose a dog, the SPCA doesn't say, here, this is the dog that's yours. No, you get to choose and select the dog, the puppy, whatever you want. We are selected by God. We are chosen by Him. We are adopted into God's family because of His great love for us. Listen to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. We are His children, and He has lavished His love on us. His love was on that cross for each one of us. He selected us, chose us, just like that donkey. But because of His great love, He chose us. And this donkey was selected by Jesus. Donkeys are not the nicest smelling animals. They can be pretty stinky. And this donkey, these two donkeys that were there that were tied up, the colt and the donkey, they were probably pretty filthy. Never been ridden, but probably pretty filthy. I can imagine the dust. I was thinking as I was reading this, I was thinking about the dust that happens. You know, when you get that real powdery dust and you step in it and it just goes poof. And that donkey was probably really dusty. The donkey was not only selected, but the disciples prepared the donkey for Jesus to ride on. It says in verse 7 of Matthew 21, they brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. The donkey was prepared for Jesus to ride on. Now, and only now, after the cloaks were placed on the colt, was the donkey ready for use for Jesus. It's important for us to be prepared so that Jesus can use us. See, remember the NHL scouts? They went and they found the people they needed, the players they needed. And then when the management brings the players onto the team, the players have to be prepared before they can play with the team. If they come from the Kamloops Blazers, not much chance of them playing for the team the very first night. Or maybe for the first month. They might be sent to the minor leagues and play in them and for a while. See, we've been selected. God has chosen us to be His people. And He wants to prepare us. He wants us to be prepared. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, it says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. See, the world can prepare us for certain things. The world can prepare us to play hockey. The world can prepare us to be a tradesman, a machinist, or a welder. The world can prepare us to be a business person or a secretary or a doctor or a nurse. And those are all good things. But God's Holy Spirit will prepare us to do the work of the Father. What did it say? It says this godliness has value in all things. So when we're the hockey player or the secretary or the mechanic or whatever, if God has prepared us by His Holy Spirit, we are even a better employee or employer. God prepares us for what? This present life and the life to come. Cal was prepared. There is no doubt in my mind as I visited him over the last little while that Cal, even though he worked in the mines before he retired, he was still prepared. Because he wasn't just prepared by the world to do his job in the mine. He was prepared by God for this life and now the life to come, where there is no more pain and no more suffering. We must be prepared to live and to work for Jesus. We need to know that the Holy Spirit, we need to know Him. We need to learn from Him. It says in John chapter 14 that He teaches us all things. We need to grasp that. We need to be open. We need to prepare ourselves by reading the Bible and by praying, by fellowshipping with one another, by going to Bible studies, by coming to church. All those things prepare us in a godly way. And the Holy Spirit uses those things and He reminds us of those things throughout our lives. So we're selected. And God wants to prepare us. And He does. But you know that NHL player? Unfortunately, he can be selected. He can be prepared. He can be all ready to go. Yet the management might say, you know what, we're just going to put you back on the farm team or the minor leagues or whatever it's called. We're just going to put you back there for a while. We don't need you quite yet. See, the exciting thing about this donkey, he was selected and he was prepared. And Jesus didn't, they brought him to Jesus and Jesus didn't say, oh, you know what, he's a nice donkey. That's nice. Just take him out to the pasture for a while. We'll call him back in a little while to use him. No, Jesus used the donkey right away. That day. Go and find me a donkey and bring him to me. And then Jesus rode the donkey after he was prepared. It says in Matthew 21, verses 4 to 5, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And in our skit, in that little skit there, they said that comes from it's a prophetic word that came from Zechariah 9:9. You can check that out. The donkey was only a colt. The colt could have ran away, could have said, hey, don't get on me. You're too big for me. You're just too big of a burden. It's too big of a load. But no, he was used right away. He was ready to be used for God's plan to take the king into Jerusalem. What about us? God has selected us. God has prepared us. And he's ready to use us. He doesn't say, oh, you got to go to Bible college for 3 years, or you got to study the Word of God over and over and over and over again. I mean, it's good to keep studying the Word of God. But he wants us to be used now. He doesn't want us to sit and say, oh, hold it, like Moses. Oh, I'm not a very elegant speaker. Don't use me. I mean, I got lots of excuses why I shouldn't be a pastor. I mean, I hate reading, as you all know. That's a good enough reason. I'm starting to hate technology. But you know, as those cloaks were covering that prepared donkey, the Holy Spirit covers us as we are prepared. And he will bring to our minds the things we need to say to our neighbors, to say to our friends. John 14:26 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, so he has been sent because Jesus has gone to be with the Father, will tell you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's how important it is to read the Word. Because how can we know what he said to us if we don't read the Word? And if we don't read the Word, then how can he remind us what we haven't learned? God has plans for each of our lives. We are prepared to fulfill them right now and later as the Holy Spirit enables us. Jeremiah 29:11, most of you would know this scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you. Yes, Lord, prosper me. Bring the wealth, Lord. That's what I want. No, prosper you is to make us all that God wants us to be. That's what he wants. That's what it's all about. Those plans might be to share Jesus, to be a witness, to be a kids' zone teacher, to be a greeter, to be an encourager, to a small group leader, to mentor somebody. You know, many of you over the last few weeks have been an encourager and a blessing to the Ferg family. Those are plans. Those were plans of God to prosper, to touch that family. Every time I go there, they talk about the meals that come, how great they are. Now, it's not but what we do, but what the Holy Spirit does. He's the one that fulfills God's plans as we allow him to. We just need to be available. That donkey was just available. He didn't run away. So after the donkey was selected, after the donkey was prepared, and after Jesus started to use it, or God used it for his plans, you know what he used it for? It wasn't just a lowly donkey. I mean, the donkey meant that he was coming in peace, and we heard that in the video, and that's amazing. But that donkey lifted Jesus up for all to see. See, the crowds were so big that day that as Jesus sat on the donkey, they could see him. The donkey lifted Jesus. As we allow God to use us in his plans, we lift Jesus up for all to see. In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And I know that's talking about when Jesus dies and is resurrected and he's lifted up. But I also know that we all have a responsibility as his children, adopted into his family, as selected, as prepared, and to be used to lift him up for others to see. We lift him up with our words and through our actions, how we talk, when we encourage one another and those out in the world. We lift Jesus up. But not just our words, our actions. You know, we're not the only people that are taking meals to the Ferg family. But those people that are there, that are visiting, and other people, like we were there when somebody else brought a meal last night, they know. They know who Jesus is. Not because we said, well, we're from the church and we're bringing meals and our meals are better than yours, because, you know, they just know. Just like we know there's other people bringing meals. It's our actions. When we cut our neighbor's lawn or shovel our neighbor's sidewalk, hopefully we don't have to do that anymore this year. As we're honest in our dealings, as an employer is honest in his dealings with his employees, and we talked about this in our Bible study last week, and as an employer, you know, we can rob our employer by taking extra long coffee breaks and lunch breaks. As a student, are we honest? Do we cheat on our exams? On our papers? I'll tell you, honesty goes a long way to lift Jesus up. We lift Jesus up by how we respond in situations or treat other people. How do we respond when we're driving to Kamloops and the car in front of us has some old guy, 65, and he's going 80 in the 100 zone, and there's no passing for the next 15 kilometers, and we're stuck behind him? How do we respond? Do we shake our fist? Do we flash our lights? Do we beep our horn? All the above. Just so you know, I'm probably not the 65-year-old going 80. I'm probably the all of the above. No, I hope not. But, you know, how do we respond when we're in this at the superstore and there's every checkout's got long lines and somebody with their buggy cuts in front of us? And they've got a heap full in their buggy, and we're in a hurry. How do we respond? Do we respond with the words of Christ, with Christ's actions? When someone gives us the wrong amount of change, well, if it's not enough, we respond really quickly. You owe me $5 more. What if they give us $5 extra? Or $20 extra, or an extra $100 bill. What, leave? Yeah. Okay, good. I was worried there, Mel, for a sec. I didn't think I'd had you on the wrong side. But, you know, yeah, how do we respond? We need to respond quickly. We need to say, excuse me, but I think you've given me too much change. Excuse me, but that's, I owe you. Oh, the price on that wasn't $99.99. It was $199.99. I'm sorry. When I scanned it in, it said $99.99. Well, the price tag, you can look right there. And I have had cashiers say, doesn't matter. It's what scanned in. Well, I've been honest. And that's what we need to be. Because you know what happens? Those cashiers will say, because when they're out or a bank teller's out, there's problems. And those cashiers will say, thank you very much. I can't believe somebody did that. Well, isn't that the right thing to do? Isn't that what I should do? Well, why would you do that? Well, I've got a Savior that loves me and provides for me. Jesus lives in us. We need to become less and He more. People need to see Him. People need to see Jesus lifted up. He needs to be seen by others. So when we look at the donkey was selected, the donkey was prepared, the donkey was used immediately, and the donkey lifted Jesus up. These are all great lessons. We need to learn from the donkey. I know you're all saying we do every Sunday. Just joking. But each one of us, again, each one of us has been selected. God has chosen each one of us, adopted us into His family. Each one of us is prepared by the Holy Spirit, prepared to be used by the Father in the Father's plan, both now and continuously down the road. Each one of us has a responsibility to lift Jesus higher for the world to see. So they, because they are selected, and so they can be prepared, and so they can be used.